Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So yesterday we were doing the Habitat for Humanity build. Had to wear a hard hat. Now, I suppose with somebody like me, the reason why I had to wear a hard hat was to prevent me from hurting myself. Because that's what helmets are for. Really, to prevent you from getting hurt. To prevent bad things from happening. And so, we wear them. We wear them more now than we used to. It used to be, back in the day, there weren't hard hats to be worn. There weren't bicycle helmets that were worn. There weren't motorcycle helmets. There weren't football helmets or hockey helmets. You just stuck your head in there and took whatever came. But things have changed. Back in the late 1800s, Tsar Nicholas of Russia had the first one ever built for himself. It was a modification of a tractor vehicle and a car, what we've now known as a half track. As things continued to develop and we went into war in the First World War, they began to use the half track as a military device. It was really used quite heavily in the Second World War and during the Korean conflict. They were vehicles that were utilized a lot because half tracks could go just about anywhere. And so they had a great effect in terms of the war effort. Jeff and his friend believed that half tracks could go anywhere. As they were growing up, they were kids that really liked to be able to do a lot of imaginary things, especially on their bikes, and one of the things they would do on their bikes was tell themselves they were driving half tracks. And so they would take them anywhere they possibly could to be able just to prove out that theory, to be able to live out their lives as boys being 6, 7, and 8 years old. And so they took bikes in places that bikes probably shouldn't go. And it was in those days before there was any sort of headgear you wore with a bike. Jeff's friend hadn't even moved, actually, into the neighborhood. He was having a house built in the neighborhood, and his father was helping build the house. Now, the father worked his regular job about 60 hours a week, and then every free moment he had, he was at the house helping build it to be able to defray the cost for when they were able to move in. So as you might imagine, somebody who's working that much and doing that sort of physical labor isn't exactly in the best of humor. And so Jeff's friend was told in no uncertain terms, with Jeff standing there, that go away, have fun, be careful, and stay clean. One of the joys for young boys about living in an area where there are newly constructed houses is there's lots and lots of dirt. In the springtime, back east, which it was, when you add water to dirt, you get this wonderful concoction known as mud. And when you're a young boy looking for things to do, and when you're riding a bicycle that you believe to be a half track that can go anywhere, to prove that theory out, the places you're wanting to go are the places filled with mud. And so there was this sense of unmitigated joy as they went around the corner to one of the newly created roads that had yet to be paved, where there was a mud puddle bigger than any mud puddle they had ever possibly seen. And so they stopped, and they looked at one another, and they said, "Half tracks can go anywhere." And so Jeff's Friend went first, backing his bike up as far as he can to get that good running start, hitting that puddle and discovering midway through that puddle that giant stone that nobody could see because the water had covered it over. Now, in the world of physical reality, when there is something that is going to impede the motion of something you're sitting on, there is a tendency, if you're not buckled into that device, that you will continue to fly like Superman. Into the mud in the puddle. No longer being the clean person you have been required to be. Fortunately, there were no other rocks that were present in there, because this would have been a good example of why we now wear helmets when we ride. And so they meekly went back to that house that was under construction to stand before the Father as they were both covered in mud, because Jeff felt it necessary to run into the puddle to be able to rescue his friend, because he was convinced his friend was going to drown within the depth of that mud puddle. And it proved out that the Father was indeed a gentle and compassionate human being, because he did not kill the boy. Because the boy is standing here before you. We buckle up now. We have helmets for bike riding, helmets for skateboarding, helmets for skiing. We have three-point harnesses that we wear when we're driving to make sure that we don't, in any circumstances, do that whole notion of Superman in times where we don't really want to fly. We do those things for our safety, because we want to make sure, to the best of our ability, that we stay as safe as we can. Especially when we're talking about our children. It's gotten so bad, I think we're probably only years away from the time that we will wrap our children entirely in bubble wrap before we send them out to ensure their safety and their well-being. What about now? What about those times we're not on a bike? Those times that you're no longer skateboarding. The times we're not skiing down the slopes. The times that we're not out doing things that might be considered dangerous, and so we don't have that protective gear on. What about those moments? Because certainly, we need to have some protection. Something to keep us safe. Because there's a lot of bad things out there. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus is baptized, and during that baptism, the voice of God rings out and says, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I'm well pleased." And then what they don't tell you is, he says, "Get to work." And he shoos them off into the wilderness. He shoos them off into this place of treachery, this place of temptation, this place where there are all kinds of scary things lurking in the dark, in the closets, under the bed, all around. Things that can betray him, things that can hurt him, things that can do certain damage. And so Jesus needs a holy helmet, something to protect him. But you see, he already has that. He has that with the blessing that he received from God, where God comes down and says, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I'm well pleased." And with that, with those waters of baptism and that word of God's presence within his life, Jesus is protected. Given the things that he needs to be able to go out into the wilderness, to be able to go out into the world and to take on everything that is out there. Everything that might threaten him. Everything that he needs to work to be able to change, to improve, to help, to heal. Those words. Jesus is given exactly what he needs. Now, I would imagine when I think about the wilderness and think about where Jesus went, that it's somewhere like north of Cave Creek, out there, where everything bites you. That's the one thing I noticed when I moved here. Everything bites you. The plants bite you, the animals bite you, the insects bite you, everything bites you. I don't know what it is with the biting out here. I don't particularly like it, but it happens. And so I am rather hesitant to go into the wilderness. Trails I'm okay with. You know, you put me on a trail, that's fine, because it's, you know, places that people have been and there aren't bodies strewn about, so it's fairly safe. But just to go out into the wilderness is a little disconcerting, because there's a chance something's going to bite you. And I think that was probably the case where Jesus went. Because that whole sense of going out into the wilderness isn't a sense of going someplace where the trail is nicely paved, where people have gone before, but the wilderness is this place of going into these experiences that nobody has gone to before, going to these places where people aren't supposed to be, doing things that aren't expected of the normal world, out in the wilderness, out into places of treachery, out into places where fear can exist, out into places where we need protection. There's a commonality here between Jesus and us, which means that the next time we go to Ron Russler's house, he's going to have lots of wine because he's going to be working on that water to wine sort of scenario, aren't you? Yeah. But you see, the similarity really lies in the fact we too have been baptized by God and given the blessing of the Holy Spirit, but most profoundly, we have been made children of God. You are my son. Sounds like a child of God to me. And so we, like Jesus, have been blessed with the presence of God in our lives through the waters of baptism as his sons and his daughters. Given that special blessing of protection of God's presence within our lives, giving that protection that we need to be able to go out into the wilderness and do those things that God has asked us to do. In the wilderness, trust me, isn't north of Cave Creek. Wilderness right outside these doors. Sometimes the wilderness is right inside these doors. Sometimes the wilderness is in the places that we work, the houses that we live, the places that we visit, the stores that we go, the highways that we drive. The wilderness can be just about anywhere, because when we go out into this world and we find ourselves in situations where we don't necessarily feel the presence of God and we feel ourselves tempted to be something other than we know we're supposed to be, then we're in the wilderness. Then, especially then, is when we need to turn to God and understand that we have been given what we need to be protected from these things, what we need to be able to step away from the temptations of the world, what we need to be able to step into situations to be able to correct wrongs that we might see occurring, being able to do things within this wilderness in which we live to stand as beacons of hope and messengers of God's word. Given everything we need, our holy helmet in place, allowing us to step into those places we don't necessarily feel comfortable, allowing us to do those things that might seem to be a bit of a challenge to us, allowing us to boldly stand as daughters and sons of the living God who has blessed us, who has put us in positions where we can help, who has given us all that we need to be able to make this world what God intends this world to be, and sends us out into the wilderness with the understanding that there is nothing that can hold us back. There's nothing that can bite us. There's nothing that can defeat us. As long as we place our trust in those words, that you are my son. You are my daughter. And live our lives out in a way that God will one day proclaim to each of us, with you, I am well pleased. Amen.